Patty DeGangeve and Shirley Gutkowski are known for bringing their Midwestern sensibility to today's health issues with an eye towards the future. With decades of experience in clinical dental hygiene, writing about it, speaking on it, and pondering over all aspects of it, Patty and Shirley challenge dental hygienists to reach higher levels of revolutionary thinking to meet 21st century patient needs, wants, and expectations. Beware their infectious excitement. It can be catchy.
Hi, I'm Shirley Gutkowski, and I am talking today again with my good friend Patty DeGangeve. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Shirley. I'm really excited about talking about what we are going to, the six words of dental practice. We're going to get to talk about the language.
We can't move forward without better language. As an industry, as a professional, as a group, nothing works if we continue to use this diminutive language. It's a horse that I've been riding since my first articles in my tenure as a writer. So I really am excited about talking about these concepts that we've developed over the last couple of years in our Killing the Parrot course. And I want to start by talking about what happened at the Camber meetings. I was sworn to secrecy, but that was a long time ago. So what happened at the Camber meetings is that the educators were getting together to discuss the pros and cons and the problems and solutions that they were having teaching this Camber method to their students. And what came up after the first couple of years is that everybody was using a different grouping of language and a different glossary, as it were, when they were teaching the students. So in order for this to work out for them, they had to get together and create a glossary that everyone would agree on and use. So they started a committee over at ADEA, the American Dental Educators Association, and they had a committee that created a glossary, and I was invited to put my two cents into that glossary, even though I'm not a typical educator. And one of the things that I was able to do was encourage them to use the word obsolete when they were talking about obsolete words and concepts, that we could put words in, but we would identify them as obsolete. And the word that really made me want to push that idea forward was the word watch. And it is a horrible word. We have been complaining about the word watch in dentistry for at least two decades, since I was barely out of hygiene school. And I still hear it. I was talking to somebody at the group practice that I work at, and I said, we really need to get the word watch out of this vocabulary. And she was like, well, good luck, because the doctors really seem to like it. And it has no meaning anymore at all. At all. What do you think of that?
Well, what's interesting is it's not just the word use of the word. It's the thinking of the word and the practicing of the word.
Right.
You know, words only have meaning to the extent of how we think about them and use them in life. And watch, I think sometimes it's a real difference between the education of a dental hygienist and education of a dentist. An education of a dental hygienist is we're about prevention and preventing disease. A dentist is about fixing the damages from the disease. So the watch for them might make sense, because it's like, well, we're going to watch it, what? Well, watch it get worse. That's why for you and I, and I know many hygienists out there, watch doesn't make sense. Why do we want to watch it get worse?
It's not going to get better on its own.
Right. In practice, we hygienists continue to support the watch thinking by not doing anything more proactively, even when the dentist does say watch.
Exactly. And so that really spurred me on to identify some other words that we are using incorrectly, like the word watch. It's not going to get better on its own. It needs to have some protocols, some therapy, some products associated with it and help the condition to improve. You can't just watch it you know, watch it do what? It's not going to do a somersault. But even words like caries and restoration and prosthesis and diagnosis are used inappropriately every single day in the dental practice. How many times, Patty, have we had a course where we asked our audience to give us a diagnosis based on whatever picture we were showing, and they would just say SRP or or fluoride or something, and we're like, what's the diagnosis here?
And I get that, particularly when people are asking me about coding. They well, this and this and this happened, or they want to show me a picture, what's the code? And I go, what's the diagnosis? And they look at me, well, SRP, or a crown, or an MO. I'm given the diagnosis. And that's the real, real challenge there. Coding is based on diagnosis. So what's the diagnosis? So up, and then that other one, remember, and it's closely related to diagnostics.
Yes.
Remember we tried to do the exercise on what diagnostics you will use, and people would tell us fluoride. And we're asking something, is there something more than an x-ray? Is there something more, what are there, you know, like, is, you know, are you going to use a, you know, a fluorescence technology when we're looking at the tissues or the tooth structure? What are we going to, what else do we have in our diagnostics? In other words, the things that we're using to figure out the diagnosis. But those words are all messed up.
They are all messed up, and it's hurting us. It's hurting us severely, and I don't know that anybody really understands truly how bad it is when we're using the wrong words. Even just words like restoration. We use the word restoration in dentistry to reflect restoring the shape of a tooth or restoring the arch, and I think it kind of goes back to your comment about how dentists are taught as compared to how dental hygienists are taught. And what we have is a word that's lost its meaning. What you're doing in dentistry, classical drill and fill dentistry, is you are providing a prosthesis. You are replacing a body part. If you and I, Patty, and the colleagues who are listening to this, who are reading our articles, don't look at teeth and the mouth as a body part, why in hell, sorry, would anybody else? It's obviously a body part, but we don't talk about it as a body part. No dentist wants to place a prosthesis unless they're a crown and bridge dentist. Then, you know, then it's okay. But to typically do an occlusal filling and call that a prosthesis is against every grain in their body. And they can't just talk like that. And patients don't want a prosthesis. What if all day long we talked about our patients' prosthesis? Do you think they might brush and floss better? I'm pretty sure they would.
But, you know, the other thing, though, that also restoration, when we only use it in relationship to the teeth or occlusion or whatever, we're missing so much. I mean, the oral environment, it's the old 80-20. 80-20, 80% of the mouth is not tooth.
Right.
And so we're missing, because when we, no matter how far we understand, you mentioned CAMBR a few times, and for some people, they might not even know that CAMBR stands for caries management by risk assessment. And, you know, we've linked that. Everybody understands it, but they don't. It's really amazing to me how many people don't know what that actually means and what that whole philosophy means. But the idea of risk assessment and looking at all the factors to restore health, not to fix teeth. That's
right.
The difference. And it's a difference that it sounds like it's a language game. And this whole thing, when we talk about words, so many things, people think that we're just playing a game with language. No, it's about how we think, again, and how we practice.
The woman's movement, the race riots, all of that centered on language. And once we cleaned up our language, things got to be easier with all of that. Not that it's easy still, but it's easier. And people are more aware. And people are more aware because the language is highlighted. And the language develops the attitude. So once we start to clean up our language and get back to the core of what it is that we're doing, especially in dental hygiene, that we are restoring the health of the mouth. Caries is not a localized infection. It's a mouth-wide infection, the same as periodontal disease. It may represent itself locally at the moment, but really it's an infection of the whole body. So restoring things has a much broader definition. And that's what we have to really start centering on. That's what that's what this week's article is about in our little series here on modern hygienists.
There's so many ways we can look at it. We're looking at just five or six words in the beginning in this particular article, but there's so many more because it's a whole deeper reaching way of looking at things. Do we really even believe in health? I know I believe we can cure periodontal disease, have a world with no oral cancer, and reach the 2020 goal of a world without any caries. Well, there's some big goals.
Right.
We got to think differently. And that's the idea of that millennial thinking is how can we think different than we've always had? Well, in order to think different, the message here is that we use different words. Because as Shirley said so eloquently, it's the words shape our thinking. And our thinking shapes our action.
Exactly. So let's close today and thank everybody for taking a listen. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with some more new provocative content.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Shirley.
Bye, Patty.